Welcome to the 13th Hour Podcast. This is episode number 357. I'm your host, Joshua Blum. And this week is a follow-up from basically last week. It's a bit of an update episode. And it's last week we talked about the making of Night of the Comet figurines. And I have some follow-up for that, as well as a couple of things I've been working on otherwise. And so let's get into that. If my voice sounds muffled, it's because I'm wearing a mask, and I have just been cutting a few inserts for these little figurines that I've been making, and I've been using a slightly different technique. So let's get into that for a bit. One thing that I've tried a couple different ways of storing these figures. They're either Lego figures or like the Beverly ones that I made, and I've experimented with using foam and paper of various kinds and stuff like that to create little inserts in the cases that I use so they don't rattle around. They kind of like sit in their own little space. And so for the Rocketeer ones, as the first ones I did, I used four different pieces of foam, three of the same thickness, one of a different thickness, to create sort of like little layers, because the figure is one layer of thickness, the pack and the helmet are another, and then he has two firearms, which are very small and thin, and I didn't want them to be so deep so you could actually get them out. When I first initially did this, I just cut it out by hand using an X-Acto blade. It was very tedious, and it took a long time, and you had to go over it many times, and it was messy. I experimented with taking a soldering iron and then cleaning up the edges, and that worked pretty well. But I just discovered that there's actually a quicker way, which is to go with the soldering iron from the very beginning and trace it over the outline, and essentially cuts through the foam very quickly. And then I use this a X-Acto knife to clean up the rest of it. I think you could probably even heat up the knife and then get it even faster. Now, there is something I just ordered. It's for cutting through styrofoam. And it's basically called hot knife, kind of like an expression of hot knife through butter. And it's for cutting through blocks of styrofoam. And I'm excited to actually use that to do more of these things, because you often will get blocks of styrofoam as packing material in things that you buy. And it would be great to be able to actually use that stuff to make your own packaging. It is recyclable. It's polystyrene. It's a number 6, but a lot of places can't do 6s. So in my area, supposedly they can. I usually stick that stuff in there, like meat trays and styrofoam packing. My wife often uses those styrofoam blocks as the bottom of like house plants and stuff like that to kind of create space, so you don't have to put as much dirt in, and allows the roots to kind of go down and sort of break up through the soil, break up into the styrofoam, I guess. So she often will use it, but if you buy anything, like you buy a printer or I don't know, something, it's probably going to come with styrofoam. And so it would be really nice to be able to use that. But the little bits of it that are actually made of little balls, tiny little balls, if you try to cut it with a traditional knife, even if a really sharp knife, it usually will make a mess. And it's not a clean cut either. But apparently a hot knife actually will seal, almost like cauterizes it. So you get a sort of flush kind of thing. And I think you can make these things. They have a thing where it looks almost like a cheese cutter, where it's a wire, and you kind of slice it through. And I guess you somehow are able to heat up that wire, maybe through electricity. I'm not really sure how that works, but I ended up just buying one. It looks basically like a soldering iron with a flat kind of knife-like edge to it. So, but you can actually use a soldering iron for this. It does create a layer of residue on the soldering iron, so you probably will want to, basically file that off. But yeah, you can basically use that. I'm using that to make a couple more of these cases for a few of the more of the Lego Rocketeer figures that I have that did not have cases originally. And I figured I might as well, I'm going to sell them like I've done so far. They might as well have cases. I was originally just going to do them loose, but it's like, why not? Let's have cases for them. They're not that hard to make, so. Now that I've figured out an easier way to make them. And I experimented with a different technique that was more work, and the results were less good. So I'm not going to use that. What I did for the Night of the Comet figures is I used a foam that had, it was made with two layers of paper on the outside, and I cut it out by hand and then painted it. And that actually worked okay, but I don't know if I would necessarily would do it again in that particular way. I think I used it because I liked that you could kind of create a little pocket in there, and almost like I created a little holster, sort of like for the two guns that the characters have. So that worked okay, but I don't know if I necessarily would do it in that particular way if I had to make those figures again. So I'm going to make a couple more of them, I think, and I may just use the same system, or I may use a different system. I'm not really sure. That's kind of an exciting thing, because creating packaging and stuff like that, you know, you can buy all this stuff, but wouldn't it be really nice to use what you have? But anyway, I'm wearing the mask because it produces fumes when you do this, when you cut through styrofoam, and I figured probably better that I not breathe those things in. It's the exact same mask that I'd use walking around as the one that I haven't yet, you know. If you're walking out and about, you know, for pandemic-related stuff, same kind of stuff. So I think like an N95 or an equivalent would be fine for that. So anyway, that's I took it off just now. Maybe there's a difference. I don't know. But so that is done. I will post a little clip that shows kind of what it all looks like, the package and everything like that. This will be a little bit more about this on the Patreon, actually, coming out a little bit later this week, probably tomorrow or the next day. But I had a chance to attend a drive-in movie for the first time in a really long time. And the drive-in movie, one of them happened to be The Last Starfighter. And so it was about 2 hours away, about 2 hours away and change. Made the pilgrimage over, and there was a double feature, actually. It was Chopping Mall and The Last Starfighter. There was another one I couldn't make. It was the next day, which was The Apple and Night of the Comet, which I'm bummed about, but couldn't make both. So I've never seen any of those movies on the big screen, and it was really a thrill to be able to see The Last Starfighter on a big screen, and also to be able to watch it the whole way through, which is a rarity in my current life, actually, to be able to watch things all the way through without interruptions. It was a lot of fun, just, you know, drive-in movie. I mean, you know, they're a dying breed. The two leads of the film, Kelly Maroney and Catherine Mary Stewart, were both there, and I gave them both their figures, and that was cool. But yeah, just really a fun evening. So there'll be more about that on the Patreon itself, so you can check that out. I got a little bit of footage, some pictures. The stars gave, you know, some little introductions there. It'll be over there for the patrons, so you can check that out. Interestingly enough, there was a suggestion box for other double features, so I put in The Rocketeer and Flash Gordon as one of them, or Out There, which is another movie. It's very similar. So Rocketeer, of course, no explanation needed in this particular podcast. Flash Gordon actually is going to be one we're doing in the next couple of weeks. You'll see an episode on that. Another pulp-style movie that is very much super campy, a lot of fun. Out There is a movie from the mid-90s, also in a similar vein, also starring Bill Campbell. And it's just they all kind of fit in the same kind of same kind of tone. I hope at some point they will do The Rocketeer on a big screen like that. That would be a lot of fun to see. I got a chance to take a couple pictures. You know, you get there early, you get a good spot, and then, you know, you get the chance to watch the sun go down. And, you know, it's a big sort of open area, so you get a good view. So I got a couple pictures of some of the figures, like brought a Rocketeer figure there, a Lego Rocketeer figure, the Sam and Reg ones from Night of the Comet. I'll put some of those in the show notes. So it was a fun time also for that kind of stuff as well. And great energy as well, you know. Oh, I remember what I was going to talk about. I had planned to talk a little bit about the making of the case, because that's why I had started on on that train of thought for Night of the Comet. So now at this point, I have three little cases that are very similar in style, and they're all the same size because I had a whole bunch of those little plastic cases, and they all have the like sort of foam inserts with to fit to sort of hug the figure in there, and they all have very similar designs with the on the outside, meaning like a slip cover that goes over it with artwork on it. And they all use sort of the title in Chinese, which is serves two purposes. One of which is that it doesn't say the name of the property directly, it makes it easier to post it without it being flagged as being a copyright violation, which it would be basically. This is always one of these fine lines, I think, that I never really understand. But since I'm not doing any of this for profit, I feel like, all right, well, whatever. I mean, it's bringing some people are buying it, and it's, you know, it's a niche that's not being served by anything else. So why not? I just kind of do it for fun. And but still, often they will flag stuff like eBay will, or the actual companies that whoever owns the rights to them, the movie companies sometimes will. But that's a small reason. That's like a low level kind of reason, because really, like, you know, it's, unless you're making a lot of these things and selling them, you know, mass producing them, like who really cares? But I think one of the things that I wanted to go for is that look, that sort of early, you know, sort of late 70s, early 80s look of the import toy, which is kind of a hard thing to explain. I've talked about this before, but the when I was growing up, a lot of toys were imported from places like Japan and Hong Kong and Taiwan, and there were a lot of things like robots and sort of bootleg versions of action figures and things like that. And it calls back to that, even though these are obviously not bootlegs. I guess they would fall into what's considered designer toys, which is not like fancy or anything like that, but they're sort of custom made, basically. But they call back to that kind of era, which is ironic because it's the exact opposite. It's mass-produced stuff that was, you know, instead of Voltron, it would be Voltran or something like that. But it looked almost the same, you know, and there's a special place, I think, that I have in my heart for that kind of stuff. I'm not really sure why. I don't know if you can still do this, but you used to be able to go to like New York, you know, Chinatown or whatever, and you'd pick up like all kinds of like bootleg things, which were in all appearances look like the real thing, but then you actually look at it more closely and it's just not the same quality. Like, and it may even use the label like Gucci or Prada or something like that, but you know, the stitching will be like off, or the label will be crooked, or it just doesn't quite look the same. It doesn't hold up quite as well usually, but the price is a lot less. So you used to be able to go to those places and get bootleg movies and things like that. I mean, often the quality would be horrendous. I mean, it would be somebody literally taping holding a camcorder in the movie theater, and then you used to be able to get these online, downloading them. You probably still can. It's just that I think they've gotten more sophisticated. I don't know if anybody actually watches those cam kind of bootlegs anymore, but you used to be able to buy them on the street, and there would be people that would be selling them, and they would, for all intents and purposes, superficially look almost like the real thing. But you could see that the cover of it was printed by hand. It was printed on inkjet or whatever, or color lasers were like really expensive at the time. I'm not even sure if that existed yet, and the technology wasn't quite good enough for them to be printed in a photorealistic way. But I think, so that this was like 20 years ago, so you could tell there was something off about the cover, but sometimes you really couldn't tell. And what you would get, especially if it were like a DVD, was like, you know, it was a DVD copy of the movie, and the quality would not be as good. But sometimes it would be pretty close and be pretty hard to tell. So, you know, it'd be close enough. And sometimes there were, a lot of people would probably watch them on a computer or a VCD player, not on a big screen. So, you know, the fact that it was low resolution didn't really make that much of a difference. And like I mentioned in previous, I think previous episodes talking about VCDs, like video CDs, those are meant to be played. Those are totally legit. Not a format that was popular in this country, but it was meant to be played on a smaller screen typically. And so, you know, it wouldn't really make that big of a difference. You know, like I think on the episode that recently came out when Obi came out, we were talking about The Rocketeer. It was a totally legit copy of The Rocketeer that was meant for a video CD player. I mean, it would play on a regular DVD player. And in old software, video software making kind of stuff, you could still make a video CD. And in fact, I think that was a thing that production companies used to do to try to add value to CDs to prevent bootlegging, is to have a mixed video and audio CD, so there might be some video content on the actual CD. But anyway, so if you looked at the packaging for the video CDs, often it would be in, a lot of these were coming out of China, and so the back would be in both English and in Chinese. And so it's calling back to a bunch of that stuff, I think, particularly like, I remember like one of the first GoBots I got was, I think probably the first, was not actually a, you know, one in the store, like in Kmart or anything like that. It was one of these in Chinatown. It was one of the Japanese imports. What was it called? Machine Robo or something like that. I think it was the brand that was taken by, I think it was Tonka. I forget which company made them. I think it was Tonka. But anyway, whatever. They took them and turned them into GoBots, you know, this sort of transforming robot. And so it came in a little box just like that. And so it's kind of calling back to that kind of thing. So the title that I chose for The Night of the Comet is actually just a direct translation of Night of the Comet. There is actually a Chinese movie, I think, with a similar title, and but it's a totally different thing. It's not related to the 1984 Night of the Comet at all. It's just a movie with a similar title. If you actually look at the words, even though that's the title in English, it's the night the comet came, I think, is kind of how it translates to. But this one is Huixing Zhi Ye, which Huixing is the word for comet. Xing is star. And so Huixing is comet. And Zhi Ye means sort of like of night, I guess. So comet of night, literally. But night of the comet is how you would translate it. So that's what I used. A lot of things in Chinese sound great if they're four characters kind of in length. And so I figured that would be a fit for the title. And I made a little cover art illustration of it by taking a picture of one of the figures with a toy door. So if you look at the actual photo of the cover of the original movie, the movie poster, and the way it's often advertised, it shows Sam. No, actually, no, I think it's Reggie actually opening a door and looking out into it. And all you just see is her silhouette. And then the rest of it is kind of white. And then you see some like shadows coming off of her feet. And so I did the same thing basically by taking a picture and then making a, sort of editing in Photoshop to actually look like that. And then on the back of it, I had the introduction from The Night of the Comet. Since before we're recorded time, and it swung through the universe in an elliptical orbit so large that its very existence remained a secret of time and space. But now, in the last few years of the 20th century, the visitor was returning. The citizens of Earth will get an early Christmas present this year. It's kind of a Christmas movie, basically, as their planet orbited through the tail of the comet. Scientists predicted a light show of stellar proportions, something not seen on Earth for 65 million years. Indeed, not since the time that the dinosaurs disappeared virtually overnight. There were a few who saw this as more than just a coincidence, but most didn't. And it says, and so begins Huixing Zhi Ye. Can survivor sisters Sam and Reg escape the clutches of zombies, misguided scientists, and other quote-unquote responsible adults? Many thanks to all who were involved. All proceeds to charity. So that's what's on the back of it. And then you open it up and you see the two sisters inside, the Lego figures. So that is that. So now there's three of them that are kind of in that similar format. We have the Rocketeer, we have Beverly, and then this. I think sometime over the next year, I have a couple others that are planned that are kind of like this. So one will be of Atreyu in Neverending Story. So I have some of the parts for that, I think, including some of the old Lego horses that used to come with, like, the knights and things like that. Oh, my God, are those expensive. Jesus. So I have some of those, and I have the ones from Space Camp, the six different characters from Space Camp. But there's also a sort of a seventh, which is a robot, which I have to figure out how to make. I'm not really sure how to do that just yet, but that's another one. Trying to think if there may be other movies and things like that that might be fun to do characters of. Labyrinth comes to mind. Could also do some other characters from The Rocketeer. The Rocketeer himself just happens to be sort of the most memorable. I usually try to give each one accessories and things like that, so that's kind of fun to do. The other thing that's of the same vein, but obviously not a Lego figure, is that the 13th Hour action figures are actually, I put that sort of on hold while I did this, mostly because I wanted to get a little bit better at painting, and I figured that this would be a good way of doing it, to practice on some of these tiny little figures, and I think it would be better. So definitely my painting comfort level has gotten better. Also finishing, I found these little engraving pens basically to be perfect. They're much better than a Dremel in many cases, allowed you to be much more precise. That, and also, like I had mentioned before, the way of working with foam to actually package all this stuff together, that has been really, really helpful. So each time I've done one of these things, I feel like I've learned something that's going to help with the other stuff. I have been working on those figures behind the scenes, but it's been slow because what I'm trying to do is actually embed pieces of sheet metal in these hoverboards of Lightning that Logan rides. And the idea is that Logan, who has magnets on his feet, will be able to stick on the hoverboard, and then you don't need joint pegs. So I'm trying to sand them smooth enough that they're not very noticeable. So that's been, you know, any kind of like sanding, priming, finishing kind of job like that always takes kind of a long time. And I have six of them that I'm doing. So I don't know, that's a sort of a slow thing. But I found some silver spray paint that's also primer. And so I have a bunch of them that are close to being done, but I think I'd like to give them another couple sands, sanding treatments, maybe some wet sand sanding, that's sanding with wet sandpaper that actually helps quite a bit, and then give them another juicing with the paint. So that's what I've been doing with those figures, but I think what I'll do with those is package them in a slightly bigger container, similar kind of setup, I think, and I have a cover illustration that I'm going to be doing with that'll fit with this. I started it a while back, sometime in the fall, I think, actually, and was never really sure what to do with it, but I think I'm going to be using that particular cover illustration with scenes and stuff from the 13th Hour that I've drawn in for the cover illustration for these figures. So I think it'll look like a miniature VHS cassette if I've done it correctly. I'm not really sure exactly, but how I'll do that. But I think I can probably do that. That's the idea. So there's a couple of developments. Let's see, things that are on the horizon. So next week, actually, we're going to have a episode where my brother comes back on. We're going to be talking about the movie, The Heroic Trio, which is a Hong Kong movie that is really zany. In a couple of weeks after that, we'll be talking about Flash Gordon, which is also a very zany movie. And that that episode just recorded. I have to go through it. It went off the rails right like immediately, so it's a good time. Let's see, a music episode coming up. Working on some stuff that Jeff Finley had sent to me. I've been taking a couple weeks to kind of let that marinate and figure out how I want to add to what he sent me, and I think I have a pretty good idea at this point. I had to wait for the muse to come. So a bunch of different things that are coming. So stay tuned for stuff. If you're a Patreon member, you'll see more about that, about the figures and the drive-in movie kind of experience. There will be a separate Patreon exclusive also for the Flash Gordon stuff. So that's all going to be coming in the next several weeks. So stay tuned. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you guys in the future. Hey, a few last things. If you enjoyed this episode, you can find many more like it on the show's website, 13thhr.wordpress.com, as well as on numerous other podcasting platforms like iTunes and Stitcher and Spotify. There's often additional material on various places on social media as well, like on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can find links to all these platforms in the show notes for this episode. Sometimes people will ask me, how can they help contribute to the show or other things that I do? And you can, of course, leave a tip over at ko-fi.com, which is ko-fi.com/13thhr, which is basically like a virtual tip jar. You can see a link to that in the show notes. But there's a lot of stuff that you can do that's just for free, and stuff that you may be already doing anyway. And so if you have ideas or suggestions, you know, email me. My email address is writejoshuablum@gmail.com. Also, don't forget, subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you currently prefer and share it with your friends, leave a review, listen to music on Bandcamp, Spotify. You know, I hope by conveying some of the creative process on this show, you'll also be inspired to do creative things and follow your own dreams and do whatever it is that brings meaning to your own life. The world really is what you make of it, and at the end of the day, that's what the 13th Hour is about. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye.